Sometimes we come with an anticipation or an expectation that God's going to give you maybe a specific word. And you know, so often God is speaking to us through the message that we hear. And a lot of times people they're not necessarily paying attention to what's being preached from the pulpit, but they're running around looking for a personal word from people, you know. How many know you can get into trouble? How many know that God is speaking, amen, through His word, amen? Hallelujah. So we got to be listening up. Sometimes, you know, we're looking for something over here and God says it's right in front of you. I've already told you, amen. It's like sometimes we're saying, well, God, show me what your will is. And I know that there is a specific will of God for our lives, but there is also the general will of God that is for all of us. And we find that where? In Matthew 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. God says, go and make disciples of all nations, right? That's what we're called to do. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of the kingdom government of heaven here on the earth. We are to represent the Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, remember, worship is the whole offering of yourself. Amen. It's not just giving money or singing some songs. True worship to God is a life that's given back to God. True worship is loving God back. So we give in every way, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and what? Running over. God is a giver because God is a lover. And we've been called to love one another. We are called to love each other. And so I want to encourage you just to understand that your life is to be given as an offering. But whatever you give to God, you don't lose. If you give your soul to Jesus, you don't lose your soul. Whatever Jesus has in His hands, He can bless and multiply, just like the fishes and the loaves. So we got to give God the whole offering. The problem is we just give God bits and pieces. I'll give Him a little of this and a little of that, but He can't have that. You know, it's in the areas that we hold back where, you know, the enemy continues to camp out. And he's a thief. So we've got to give God the whole offering. Amen. Give Him your entire life. If you will save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. Amen. Sometimes we think, if I'm going to give, I'm going to lose, right? Now, you didn't know. You knew better than that, right? But sometimes, you know, the Lord's going to challenge us to do something beyond what we're comfortable doing. In fact, often He does that. Because sometimes He tests our faith, doesn't He? Whether we really believe Him or not. And you're probably thinking, oh, here we go. We're having another offering. No. I'm talking about in general, God does that. He challenges us to believe Him. And He calls us to do something that is beyond what we are humanly capable of doing. You can't be a Christian in your humanity in the sense that it's something that you can flesh out. It is something that is supernatural that we are called to. It is beyond us. It is above us. It is higher than we are because God is higher than we are. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So what we're called to do is beyond what we are humanly capable of doing. And that way, Christ will be displayed through the weakness of human vessels that are representing Him in power, you see. When God moves through us, amen, and touches someone's life, there's a miracle that takes place, whether it's through word or some kind of deed. But people need to understand, as they did when they saw Jesus and they didn't really know who He was, other than they said, isn't He the carpenter's son? Huh. Amazing things coming out of His mouth, amazing miracles He was doing. But isn't this just the carpenter's son? How can He do that? Now, we'll say, yes, He was the Son of God. But remember, Philippians says that He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and appeared in the likeness of, right, flesh, as a man. In other words, God became a man. And yet, it says that he stripped himself of everything he had. He became just like you and I to become that offering for our sins. To fulfill that which had been written about him. To fulfill the law. Where the law had been broken by man, Christ came, amen, to fulfill. And became our perfect sacrifice. He was without sin. He overcame. And therefore he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. As our great high priest, our intercessor. We can call on the name of the Lord and receive deliverance. Hallelujah. So don't think that I'm just a nobody. I heard that earlier. Don't think that you're just a nobody, because that's the lie of the enemy. What he wants to do is he wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants to talk you out of your internal inheritance. He wants you to get into a state of mind that says, I can't, and therefore I won't. When God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, according to the will of God, I can do exactly what he told me to do. Even if it is humanly impossible, if it's God's will, you've heard it said it's God's will, God will take care of it. You just be obedient and do what he tells you to do. Sometimes he's simply telling you to, when you're feeling oppressed and feeling down, to open your mouth and begin to give God praise. And watch what will happen. It works miracles. It creates a change of atmosphere in your heart and mind, doesn't it? Hallelujah. I came in here to pray last night, and when I came in, I was just feeling just beat down for some reason. My body and everything else just felt, I'm feeling old. You know what I mean? You feel my pain. But I don't know. I just came in, and it was one of those things that's like, whoa. You know, it was a heaviness, and I just, oh God. All I can do in those moments, and it's the same thing all of us can do, is just say, Jesus, help me. Lord, touch me right now. Help me to pray. Quicken me by your Spirit. That's what I pray. Lord, just quicken me by your Holy Spirit to pray. And then I just, as an act of obedience, I began to just praise him and love on the Lord and reflect on his goodness. And then the next thing you know, there's like something beginning to bubble up with inside you, right? There's like, This, well, how does Jesus call it? He called it a fountain springing up. Amen? And sometimes we feel, how many ever felt like a stagnant pond before? I don't know, most of you are too spiritual for that, but I have. Stagnant pond, just like liftless, you know, no. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to, if you haven't, you will. Buckle your seatbelt. But you need to trust the Lord in those moments and know that God is faithful. And sometimes you're tested in those moments too. Do you really believe what I said? You don't see it. You don't feel it. You may not hear it, but do you believe it? Do you believe what I say? Do you believe that I said I would never leave you or forsake you? That's what we believe, because that's truth. And truth always wins, doesn't it? Truth prevails. Truth is what's authentic. Truth is what's real. We're all looking for something real, are we not? We don't want religion. Amen? We want relationship. We want to know the Lord. You know, people are looking for something real. And unfortunately, in some circles, they're just offering some kind of shell of something. I don't even know what it is sometimes. It's all stuff that man has manufactured, made up. Dressed up in pretty robes and whatever else. It's like, was that how Jesus lived? I don't think so. If my Christianity doesn't look like Christ, then it's wrong. My life is supposed to be patterned after Jesus. Amen. That is true Christianity. A Christian is a follower of Christ. Not somebody that does the church thing. Amen. Even our worship. Amen. What are we here for? We're here to seek the Lord, to seek his face. We're here to hear from him. Amen. To encounter him, to experience him, and to share him with each other. How many know if you're here today, you have something to offer? God created you. Amen. And he put giftings in each one of us, not just so that we could be blessed. Amen. But so we could bless others. We want to give away what we have. And whatever you give, you keep. You don't lose what you give to God. That's right. You try to hoard or hold on to what God's given you, you can lose it. But you can't, you've heard it said you can't outgive God. And that has to do with your entire life. You give yourself back to God, watch what God will do. You may say, all I am is just a few fishes and a few loaves, right? Ever feel that way? Well, I have. God says, well, give it to me. Just give me your life. You got to let go, man. You can't say, well, God, I'll give you, here's a fish and here's a loaf. And, well, I'm keeping the rest of this. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if I give you my whole lunch that I'm going to be able to eat after that. You know what I'm talking about, right? God says, let me have it. Just trust me. Let me have it. Let me have your life. Let me have your life. Let me have your heart. Let me have your future. And let me have your past too. Just give me the whole thing. I can deal with that stuff too. Do we trust him? If we trust him, then we will let him have the whole thing, the whole offering. And then you'll find your life in him. You'll step over into life. You'll come out of darkness and into light. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. And that's what happens. People hold out on God. They're afraid. And so they don't come. And they don't offer themselves back to God. And God cannot save what he doesn't possess. You see, God gave you and I the freedom of choice to make the decision whether we would trust him with our lives or not. He says, it's your life. You can do with it what you want with it. But I'm asking you to trust me and to give me your life. Give me the whole offering and watch what I will do in your life. We're gone from the handsaw to the power saw. We go from the struggle into rest. We go from works into grace. We go from condemnation into confidence in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Hallelujah. You know, it's very strategic today, this message, because this is a word that is for several of us here today, and I already know that. So I want you to really listen to what God is saying to you as an individual today, because a lot of times we evaluate ourselves by ourselves. We take a look at ourselves, and we often don't like what we see. Would you agree with me about that? Sometimes we just don't like us. And so we evaluate ourselves either by ourselves or by comparing ourselves to others. Well, Lord, I thank you. I'm not as bad as that one over there, at least. Right? I may be bad, but I'm not that bad. So at least, you know, I've got a chance of slipping in the golden, you know, gate. I mean, that's the carnal mind thinking, you know, is like, I've got to have, you know, I got to be all right with the man upstairs because I got, you know, I'm a pretty good guy and, you know, I don't beat my wife that often and kick the dog that often. And, you know, yeah, I'm sorry if I, yes, it's crude. But, you know, that's what people think. They justify what they do. Has anybody here beside myself justified yourself? Oh, no, some of you not. I know, I get it. Yeah. Yeah. We do. We justify ourselves. But it's not as bad as that one. You know what else we do? We try to find something wrong with somebody else so we can feel better about ourselves. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. What we need to do is understand that individually I am responsible for what I do with this body, amen, this life. And if I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good. If I'm willing to give God the offering. Because there's some of you here today, who feel like maybe you're on your last leg. You're turning to God because you don't know where else to go. And you know, sometimes that is a good thing, that God brings us to a place of desperation. God brings us to the end of ourselves because that is the beginning point. And God has to bring you and I to the end of ourselves before we can actually be born again. If we're just kind of doing a little arrangement with God, I'll give you this loaf and this fish, but I'm going to keep this for myself, that don't work. You've got to be done with your works. You've got to be done with your life. Amen? And you've got to be willing to give God your life and watch what He will do with your life. Trust is what it's all about. It's faith in God. Trusting that what I give Him, He can take care of and He can keep. That's what Paul meant when he said, I know whom I have believed, right? And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know in whom I believe. He knew, he trusted that God could keep him. God could sustain him. God could bring him through to victory if he would get over himself, not focus. He said, I put no confidence in the flesh. And he said, even now, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I'm trusting in the Lord and in his provision, his ability to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. You can't do it by simply trying harder. A lot of people are just trying harder and they're failing. I mean, you know, Peter could try hard. Peter was very self-willed, very strong-willed individual, and he could try and he could do a lot of things in himself successfully. But when it came to this thing that we're involved in right here, when it came to the kingdom and the will of God, the purposes of God, Peter was no match for his adversary, amen? And he did not possess what he needed to get the job done. He thought that, no big deal, I can do, you know, I can do it on my own. Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. They may, everybody else may, but not me, uh-uh. How many have said stuff like that? You might not have said it, but you might have thought it. I mean, am I talking to anybody here today? Has anybody ever, you don't have to raise your hand, you ever thought, well, I'm not that bad. At least I'm not that bad. We do. We compare ourselves often to other people. And that's why sometimes people want to hang out with this group or that group, you know, or join this club or that club. Because I want to identify myself with somebody who may be successful or good looking or talented, right? So I'm guilty by association. Come on, somebody. You know, I hang out with this person so people will think I'm like that person. It happens in churches. You got church groupies. They go around and they group to this one and that one because I'm with so-and-so. I'm with Bubba, you know. Yeah. Bishop Bubba. You know, or I'm with Benny Hinn. I'm with, you know, somebody say, huh? Yeah. I'm with Billy Graham. I'm of Apollos, right? I'm with Kephas. I'm a follower of Paul. How about Christ? How about a follower of Jesus? That's the best way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We all need to be followers of Jesus. We don't need to be followers of each other unless they're following Christ. We need to follow Jesus. And if every one of us as an individual is following Jesus, then we'll have harmony. We'll have unity. Because it's the Spirit of God that brings unity. Amen? It's not me trying to get along with people. It's the Spirit of God in me that brings me into His peace, into His rest. Amen? To even if somebody curses me, I have the grace to bless them back. And how many know that even in church, a lot of times you have to go through some experiences to learn the grace of forgiveness. Amen. A lot of times we get upset and something happens in church. Well, I'm leaving that church. Well, let me ask you, who told you to leave that church? Did God say it was okay for you to leave that church? Or did the devil whisper in your ear and say, you need to leave this church? You saw what they did. Well, they didn't even shake my hand. Right? Nobody even cares if I'm here or not. Me. I problem, right? The enemy's gonna mess with your head. He's gonna try to abort the purpose of God for your life. He's going to try to get you outside of the will of God by getting you offended, getting you upset with somebody. Yeah. And then what happens is we get into self-will and we say, well, I don't have to tolerate that. There's 30 other churches here in town. I'm just going to go over to this one now. Did God allow you to do that, or did you just self-direct? Who's really Lord? Sometimes God is wanting you to overcome something so you can become something. But in order for us to be promoted and advanced spiritually, to grow up, we have to have experiences. Some of those are going to be negative. Amen. But it's what we do in that situation that God is watching. Not so much what actually happened to me as to how did I respond to what happened to me. That's what God's looking at. He's just watching and saying, have you considered my servant Job? You know? Have you considered my servant Rick? Yeah. My servant Annie. And we just sometimes are like, God, what in the world? What is happening? Well, God's getting ready to advance and promote and take you to a new level. So before there's a new level, there's a new. So whatever's going on, you can say, okay, Lord, I'm with you. All I know is I don't want to look at the devil. I want to look at you. And when the wolf is growling at you, amen, you don't look at the wolf. You look at the shepherd. Say, Jesus. And you know what Jesus will say? What do you got in your hand? What did I tell you to do? What did I authorize you to do in my name? To take authority. Amen? We call on the Lord, but then we step out in faith and we take authority in Jesus' name. And guess what? The devil knows those who believe. He knows those who believe in Jesus. He knows those who have confidence in his name. And he also knows those who don't really believe. You know, is there such thing as an unbelieving believer? We're not really a believer until we're believing, but there's an unbelieving believer. And he does that. He messes with us. The enemy does. And he tries to get us offended. He tries to get us, you know, poised against one another. Because he loves division, distraction. He knows he can't touch God, but if he can touch us and get us to listen to him, then he can hurt God because God's heart is grieved. Now, the Lord is with me. Do you hear it? Is God speaking to you right now? You see, we preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven today. Amen. And we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. Be a doer and not a hearer only, right? Well, the title of the message is It's Not Too Late. Because sometimes people have become shipwrecked in their faith because they believe the lie that somehow they have blown it so badly with God that God would never accept them back again. Amen? And he keeps you isolated in that condemnation because he's a liar. We got to quit listening to the lies. God never quits forgiving those who repent and turn to him. Amen. And confess. Life is a series of tests. Life is a series of successes and also failures. There's a big difference between failing a test and being a failure. Everyone fails. And I've had people in my life, when I have failed, they've come to me and said, you know, everybody fails. And somehow it made me feel better. Because sometimes when we fail, we think we're just the village idiot and we're the one, you know, nobody else fails like I do. But God knows our frame. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we make mistakes. He knows that we're going to fail. He knew that Peter was going to fail him. He knew that Peter would deny him. Peter didn't think he was. Peter was self-confident. But Jesus didn't kick Peter to the curb, and he didn't even stop him from failing. He allowed Peter to continue to go and fail so that Peter would realize that in his own strength, he could not do what God called him to do. And eventually Peter would wake up, come to his senses and realize, I better start trusting the Lord now instead of myself. And once you start trusting the Lord, then you see the fruit, the good fruit of God in your life, the evidence of your faith. How many have ever been motivated after you failed a test to try harder the next time? You know, sometimes, yeah, there's been times when we said, well, okay, somebody probably came up and patted you on the back, maybe a parent or somebody, and says, you know, okay, you failed that test, try harder next. Study a little, you know, a little bit more next time, you do better. So next time you're ready to approach that test, you're like, I'm ready for it this time. We got this thing nailed. You ever been there? Yeah. But what the enemy wants to do is when you fail, he wants you to stay in a state of mind that says, I'm a failure. So he wants to assign a false identity to a child of God. Instead of saying, you're a son, you're a daughter, he says you're a failure. God doesn't love you anymore because of what you did. And if we believe that voice, then we get into condemnation. And when we're in that place, then we can no longer serve the Lord. Why? Because we have no confidence to serve the Lord. Because all we can see is our failure. Failing a test does not make you a failure. Quitting will make you a failure. Amen? So no matter what happens, when you blow it, what do? You run back to your father. Amen? Just like the prodigal who woke up in the hog pen and said, I'm going back home. What am I doing here? I've wasted my life. I've wasted years. It's time for me to get back with my father, to come back under his roof, to come back under his authority. Amen? And live the life that he's called me to. To represent him as a son and not a slave. Are you a son and daughter today? That's your identity. If you fail, you're not a failure. Amen. What you can do is you can utilize that failure as a stepping stone to success. Amen. And accomplishing the will of God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to learn from our mistakes. And don't live a mistake. Amen. David wasn't a quitter. Says that he was a man after God's own heart. Now most of us know the story, how David had failed the Lord. But one thing David didn't do, listen, is he never forsook the Lord. Even though he had failed the Lord, he never forsook the Lord. And why did God consider him a man after his own heart? Well, we read that in Acts chapter 13. Some of you are wondering, does this guy use the Bible? Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, Saul, from being king, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. What's the second half of that? Who will do all my will. Do you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Then commit yourself to do all of God's will. Yeah. God saw something in David that David probably didn't see in himself. The same thing is true for you and I. God sees potential in us that we may not see. We need to know that God is with us, that God is for us, that God doesn't kick you to the curb when you mess up. Amen? You want to be able to come home to your father and say, Father, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And what does he do? He says, let's have a celebration. This one that was lost is found. He's come home. Acts 13 and verse 36, the Bible said, David had served his generation and then slept with his fathers. He had served his generation. Let me ask you the question. Are you serving your generation? Are we serving our generation? Are we doing all of God's will? Have we really given God the whole offering? Or are we just kind of giving him a few fish and a few loaves, and we're going to hang on to the rest of this thing just in case God doesn't come through. Just in case God doesn't hold up His end of the bargain. I mean, no, that's not faith. That's not trust. Trust means I give God everything. I have entered into a covenant in His blood. I am espoused to Him. Everything I have is His. Everything He has is mine. We are in covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus. I need to trust God completely with everything and who I am. And it's when I give Him my life, I surrender that whole offering to Him, that I find it, I discover what living really is about. There's a higher place. There's a greater joy, a greater peace, a superior love in the presence of the Lord. In the will of God, I am satisfied. In the purpose of God for which I was created, when I'm living that purpose, I'm satisfied. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father." He satisfies. He completes me. He fulfills me. Otherwise, you're going to spend your life chasing after wind and sand, chasing after temporary things, just trying to make yourself feel good for a moment. And it goes from moment to moment to moment until all of a sudden you look back and say, "Where have all the years gone?" While I was preoccupied with temporary things, distractions, my life has somehow pass me by. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're not a failure. And if you're in your later years and you're saying, "I don't know if I've ever really given God my whole life, or I've never really lived my life fully for God," it's not too late. It's not too late today for you. You just need to simply make up your mind. Okay, so I fell out of the race. Amen? I may have lost a few battles, but I'm not going to lose the fight. Amen? And I might have fallen out of this race, but I'm getting back in. And I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish well. I'm going to finish strong. By the grace of God, I'm going to overcome this world, the flesh and the devil. And I'm going to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, yes, that's what I want to hear Jesus say. And it'll all be worth it to hear Him say that. And enter into the joy of the Lord prepared for you. Hallelujah. What did David have to do when he failed? Over and over, he would turn to God in repentance, simply, "Lord, I'm sorry." We have a great high priest, don't we? Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help," or grace to help us in our time of need. Now, if I know that I am a son, if I've been born again, I'm a new creation, or if you're a daughter, you know that as an heir of the throne, as a child of God, you don't have to beg to come in. You can just go boldly, confidently into your Father's throne room. Unless somehow I don't believe that to be the case. If I have an unbelieving heart, guess what? I don't receive from God. But if I believe what the Lord said in His Word about me, who I am in Christ, and that I am no longer a slave, but I'm a son, amen, I have access now 24/7 to my Father's throne. I can come with confidence and believing that what I ask for, I'm going to receive. Why? Because of my identity. Because of who I am in Him. Do you get it? A slave did not have the confidence. They had to be summoned or called. They could not certainly bebop, amen, into the throne room. They would be taking them out on a stretcher, amen? But as a son and daughter, we have been given the privilege of coming to our Father's throne of grace. where we can pray and find all that we have need of from Him for every day, because what we're called to do is beyond us, bigger than us, but God's power, His grace, is sufficient for the task at hand. Even when we suffer, God says, I'll reward you someday. Amen. If you suffer with Him, we will also reign with Him. God alone is able to pick you up when you fail. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, because if you Google this about Thomas Edison, how many have heard about Thomas Edison, right? This guy just was a remarkable man who created so many things. He was an inventor. Obviously, you know, we got this light bulb, right? He was one of the founders, okay, of the light bulb, or the discoverers, should I say. And so there's a saying that says that he made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. He tried 1,000 times. Okay, now I'm sure there's probably, you know, a little error, a margin there for error. But that's what they say, they. One of these guys I'm going to meet they. But a reporter asked Thomas Edison, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? And Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. You see, if we quit, we lose. That's for everybody here. If you quit, you will lose. But if you don't quit, and you make a mistake, you learn from it, amen, you use that as a point of reference and say, I'm going to step on that thing next time, and I'm going to pass on. I'm going to go to the next level. I'm not going to allow the devil, amen, to talk me out of my inheritance, to rob me, to snuff me out, to, you know, put a gag on my mouth and stick me in the corner and put a dunce hat on me and say you're a loser and you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything. God says I'm somebody, because you don't redeem something that's worthless. You're worth so much to Jesus. Paul said, he used this illustration, many of us are familiar with this, about the race, the marathon race. He says, do you not know, 1 Corinthians 9:24, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. See, we're all in a race. Think of your life as a race. Amen? Jesus is the finish line. Amen? We want to get to that finish line, and we want to have, amen, an abundant welcome. Hallelujah. As the crowds cheer, amen, those who have gone before us and waiting for us to cross that line, amen, and see the one who it's all about say, well done. So if you're in a race, you can't just stay out, amen, because you don't feel like it. How many have ever run before? Most of us, right? I've run a marathon before. It took me out on a stretcher, but no, I ran the Sound and Arrows one time. I want to tell you, everything in your body's barking at you. You are hurting, you know, but especially that last stretch, because it's all uphill. But you realize, as long as you don't quit, you're going to reach that finish line. Amen. And you know, there's a proverb that says the race is not always to the swift. There's some people that sprint out of the gate. They seem like, boy, they've got this thing nailed. And then you look a little while down the road here and said, where are they? What happened? What are you doing here on the side of the road? When I was in the Army, you know, we'd be on those runs, right? And once in a while, if you try to help a brother out, right, he's like, you can tell he's starting to fail, man. He's starting to lose it. And especially if you've been out drinking the night before, it's like, he's going to fall out. We call him the sick, lame, and lazy truck that we used to ride behind us, you know. But instead you say, hey, come on, man, you can do it. Come on, grab my hand, man. Come on, get back in, get back in. Oh, no, I'll be all right. You help a brother out. You help each other, amen, so that you can get to that finish line. You can overcome in the race. So you see a brother that's struggling, amen, you don't kick him to the curb. You want to reach out your hand and help him along the path, right? Same thing in the body of Christ, amen. We're here to help each other. If you do well, I do well. Because we're a team, we're a body, we're part of each other, amen? I don't want to enter in with just, you know, part of a body. God wants this whole body functioning, amen, and healthy, and operating and working together as a team. Failure doesn't have to be the end. Amen? You're only a failure if you quit. You're here today because you decided, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get back in. I'm going to get back in the race. I may have been out for a while. I may have been down on the mat for a little while. But there's still some fight in me. I'm getting back up. And I'm going to win this fight. Amen? A good boxer. Amen? Most of the fight is heart. Amen? Training is good, but you got to have the heart to win. You got to know that if you're going to take a few punches, you got to be able to take a few and give a few. Amen? But ultimately, the goal is to win the fight. And so God is telling you and I the same thing. He wants you and I to overcome. Because we can do all things through Christ. If it's the will of God, it will be the bill of God. He will provide for you the grace for you to do what you're called to do, which is beyond what you can do naturally. And that's why you must give your entire life to Jesus Christ before you will begin to experience, amen, the power, the grace of God, and be able to see clearly what the will of God is for your life. You don't need a partial revelation, you need the full revelation. Amen? You can't give God part of you, you got to give God all of you. Because what He has, He can bless and multiply. But if you hold back on God, whatever He doesn't have, it still belongs to you. You can do whatever you want with your life. But in the end, there's coming a day when we shall see Jesus. Amen? Every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. What have you done with your life? What did you do with the investment that I made in you? With the gifts that I gave you, the talents I gave you? And I want to hear the Lord say, you did well. I'm sure there's going to be areas where He says, you could have done better. Amen? But ultimately, I want the Lord to say, well done. You didn't quit. You stayed in the fight. And I want to finish with this. There's a singer-songwriter called Bob Bennett. How many have heard Bob Bennett's music? Yeah, a couple of you. Wow. It's called The Baseball Song. And I've used this before, but it's such a good illustration of this thing. I'm going to paraphrase it, but he talks about a young boy who's out playing Little League, you know. And he's up to bat. And dad's out in the audience. Watching. And so he wants to do his best. He wants to get that home run, you know, because he wants to honor his dad by his accomplishment. So he's up to bat and he gives it his best. And strike one, strike two, oh, strike three, crushed. I failed. And so after the game, he's looking down, he's kicking the dirt, he's walking away. And here comes his dad. Says, a limousine ride in the family car. Snow cone, candy bar, limousine ride in the family car. He says, my dad loved me no matter how I played. He loved me because of who I was, not because of how I performed. You understand? That's the heart of God. Because all of us, if we live out of performance, we're going to fail. And we're going to be self-condemned because a lot of times we're putting things on ourselves that God never put on us. The enemy will put stuff on you, expectations on you that God didn't put on you. He will try to beat you up and beat you down by getting you into some false burden, into some false thing that God never called you to do. What did Jesus call us to do? He says, I come to you. I called you to come to rest. I call you to come and sit at my feet. I call you, amen, out of works and into my grace. I want you to be, amen, sons and daughters, and I want you to enjoy fellowship with me, and I want you to yoke up with me and link up, and we're going to work this thing. We're going to walk this thing out together, step by step, day by day, until the day comes when I see you in that day. Amen. God is getting us ready for eternity. And so we've got to get out of the place of performance, out of the place of works, and into the rest of God, where it is a relationship in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Religious people don't get it. They don't understand it. They think you got to do all these formalities and light candles and wear funny robes and walk a certain way and wear a pointed hat. And no, it's not about that. That's not what Jesus was about. Jesus walked among us, lived among us. Amen. Demonstrated what it was to be a son of God. And if you want to pattern your life after someone, pattern it after Him. He's the only perfect one. You understand? That's why He was telling the people of this day, because they were trying so hard to be good enough, to perform well enough. And they never quite knew if they had ever reached that point. And Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Isn't that awesome? He wants you to be free from the burden of sin. He wants you to be free from guilt and shame and condemnation. He wants you to cast off all that stuff. Lay it at the altar. Lay it at His feet. Get rid of it. Amen today. Hallelujah.